sometimes you think my borders are secure. But I'm going to tell you, there's always side ways of getting into your life. And sometimes you're guarding the front door when things are seeping into your life through the back door.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Cho. Great to be with you again on Straight Talk. Some of you have been asking about our teaching series. Typically when I teach, I do a series of 4 to 8, 9, 10 messages, and we make those available in a cover with all the CDs, the full length of the message. So if you want to order the entire series that you hear on this radio program, then you can go to our website, www.straighttalkchicago.org, and email us ordering the series, or you can always call our telephone number at 773-585-3300. And ask for the entire series. Typically, we give the name of the series at the beginning of the message and the message title as well. That way you can listen to the entire series uninterrupted and get the full scope of that teaching. So get ready to listen and hear the word with open hearts.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us again. We continue on in Pastor Mark's series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World, which is our in-depth study of the book of Nehemiah. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called Securing the Borders of Your Life.
You are the one that God has entrusted with the security of the borders of your own household. And if you're not careful, the borders of your own household can be easily breached, unaware by technology. Now, I love technology, and I believe technology is neutral. It can be used for good or evil, and I don't think, I'm not bad-mouthing technology, but I believe that all technology needs to be monitored. And if you have children at home, you need to be monitoring the technology and the waves that come in and out of your household. You need to be securing the borders. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not married. I'm just a single guy. Then great. You need to be watching your heart. You need to be watching what your eyes see, what you are exposed to. You need to be watching what comes in your house and what goes out of your house as well, especially when you are rebuilding, because when you are in the process of rebuilding, you are most vulnerable. Let me give you another illustration of this. I'm talking about securing the borders. You say, Pastor, praise God, I've been sober for 3 years. Hallelujah. I haven't drank and God has delivered me. I'm walking as a clean man, and I used to be an alcoholic and used to go out to drug addiction, but whoa, I'm a changed person. That's great. Praise God for that. But let me tell you something. Just because you haven't gone to the bottle of alcohol in 3 years doesn't mean that your borders don't need to be secured. So if you tell me that you're going to go hang out in the old neighborhood and go into the old bar and hang out with your old drinking buddies, and you're going to sit there and have a glass of 7-Up while they're all having a glass of whiskey or Jack Daniels, and you're just kind of hanging out with the old boys, but you're not going to go there because you're delivered, I'm going to tell you, listen, you're not guarding your borders very closely. Because I've had people come to me and knock at my door at 2 o'clock in the morning, and their eyes are bloodshot, and they're slurred in their speech, and they're saying, Pastor, I don't know what happened to me. I know what happened to you. You didn't guard the borders. If God is rebuilding something in your life, guard the borders. You secure what's coming in and out of that, of your environment, and the more vulnerable you are, the more you're growing, the more you need to watch your borders. You say, hey, I used to be a player. I used to be out there. I used to be, God has delivered me. I'm walking in abstinence. I'm a man of integrity. I'm a man of God. How long have you been that way? 6 months. Well, great. I'm glad it's been 6 months. But listen, you're not confident. Guard your borders. Oh, no, Pastor, I would never fall again. You know, I can, hey, that old girlfriend calls me up. I used to be involved with her. I can go to her house. I can hang out. We can hang out for a while. Hey, not me. I'm not going to fall. Guard your borders. Don't assume just because the wall is built that you're strong. You need to guard the borders, because people that don't guard their borders fall and let devastation enter into the city, and then they can't rebuild because their borders are not secure enough. And let me say one other thing about guarding our borders, by the way, because he's saying, I want you to be stricter. Just a word for parents, by the way. Our goal should not be to try to be like everybody else. And I have two teenage kids. They're sitting right over there. And I have a little 8-year-old. And, you know, oftentimes, how many of you parents ever have your kids say, well, everybody else does it? Anybody here ever have your kids say, well, you're stricter than everybody else? You know, if you listen to your teenage kids, you would think that most parents just kind of, you know, give the keys of their car to kids that don't have a license. They say, go out, you know, drive, drink, whatever. No limits, no time frames, just do whatever. Because oftentimes there's this word, well, you're stricter than everybody else. Here's my standard answer. I don't really care what everybody else is doing because it's not my goal in life to be like everybody else. I don't wake up in the morning and say, man, I want to be like everybody else. Whoa, I just want my family to be like everybody else. I want to be like everybody else. Listen, I believe that you need to set standards that reflect your values regardless of what everybody else is doing. Because the majority isn't always right. In fact, oftentimes the majority's wrong. And so if you want to have a family that's different from the majority of the families that oftentimes are getting divorced, falling apart, dysfunctional, then you need to operate in ways that are different than the rest of society. And oftentimes that will seem stricter than the rest of society. So don't be afraid of being different than the rest of society. And all the parents say, amen. Amen. There you go. All right, and by the way, the Word of God says a lot about watching, 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 watching. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, watch over your heart with diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. Or another translation says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard it, watch it. We have the responsibility to be watchmen over our family, over our marriage, over our lives, and that's the responsibility that God has entrusted to us. Number three, I want to remind you that oftentimes our borders can be infiltrated more quickly, more easily than what we suspect. Oftentimes our borders are subtly infiltrated. And I want you to notice that, number three, write this down. If you are going to secure the borders of your life, you must be willing to honestly assess your past history and current condition. In just a moment, we'll see how Nehemiah begins to assess everybody that's already in the borders. He takes a registry of everybody that's in the borders. He tries to find out their history. He tries to find out who's living there. He tries to examine their current condition and really know where they're at. Here's what I've discovered, that oftentimes our borders are not as secure as we think they are. And things can subtly infiltrate into the borders of our life without us being aware of it. And so we need to be on guard, we need to be watching, we need to be careful. In fact, a few years back, we had an experience that kind of opened up our eyes to how insecure our borders are, really, our airport borders are. We were coming back from Spain a couple of years back, and my son Josiah, you know, we had gone by this sort of like antique shop deal. And he had seen a knife in this antique shop deal that was kind of had this little carving in the handle that was like a Spain kind of thing. And he said, Dad, I really, really need a knife like that. And I'll just put it on my shelf and it'll be like a decoration there. And can we get it? It's like a Spain knife. And since his mother wasn't there, I said, yes, of course. And I don't know, I probably had just read Wild at Heart or something, the book, you know, let a man be a man. And so I said, okay. So he got this little, knife from Spain with a 4-inch blade on it, kind of a decorative knife. And on our way, when we were ready to head back to the U.S., Josiah's looking all over the room and can't find his knife. And he says, Dad, I can't find my knife. Where is this? I'm going to have to. I said, you know, Grandma will find it. We were staying at Grandma's house. So we drive to the airport. This was a week after the bombings in London. So the airports were in high alert, like red code alert. They were at super high security, really, really guarded at the airport. We go to the airport. We go through the screening machine, put our luggage through the screening machine. They, you know, make us go like this, take our shoes off, our change out of our pocket, wallets out, everything, go through the screening machine, make it on the other side. I'm feeling, hey, this is a pretty secure place. Glad they're doing this. Long lines to get in there. We get on the airplane, and we're like an hour into the flight, and Josiah looks at me and says, Dad, he pulls out a knife. He said, I found it. I said, put it away fast. He had found it in the side pocket of the little backpack that he had brought onto the plane. It had gone through the X-ray machine, and they hadn't even noticed it. 4-inch blade in high security alert a week after bombings. I thought, well, that maybe it was just Spain. Whew. And we were flying to London, so we get to the London airport. And we have to go in through a security control to get into the London airport now. And so my son says, what should I do with this? I said, well, just put it back where it was. If they catch us, we'll just tell them the truth. Hey, we didn't know. We brought it on. So we go through long, long lines. They're searching everybody, patting people down, having us go through these machines, taking our shoes off. Same thing. London, it's known for high security. We go through the X-ray machine. We make it on the other side. They don't catch it. So I said, I'm done with this. I'm not going through any more security machines. And so I go to the lady at the airport. And I say, excuse me, ma'am, you know what? We have a knife here that we'd like to, you know, kind of try to wrap, put into luggage. She said, oh, now how'd you get that knife into the airport? I said, well, you know, here's what happened. She was real nice. She smiled. She said, I'm going to have to call security. She called security. He said, oh, that's your story. He said, I'm going to go to my supervisor. So now we're at the supervisor. She says, oh, now what line did you come in? We told them the line. He said, I'm going to have to call the police. So pretty soon, here we are. Next thing we know, there's guys with machine guns surrounding us that look like a SWAT team. I kind of said, you guys are a little late, aren't you? I mean, shouldn't someone caught us while we were coming in? And I'm trying to report this knife, and now the police are telling me, well, sir, this is an illegal weapon you brought in the airport. We need to arrest you. I said, arrest me? I'm trying to give you my kid's knife, and they're trying to arrest me. And finally, they let us go, you know, had us sign an affidavit and didn't let us keep the knife. But what it's taught me is this. I'm leaving there, and I'm flabbergasted at the fact that this 4-inch knife, illegal weapon, can make it through two security points. And I'm realizing this. Our borders are less secure than what we think they are. Now, translate that to our lives. Sometimes you think my borders are secure. But I'm going to tell you, there's always sideways of getting into your life. And sometimes you're guarding the front door when things are seeping into your life through the back door.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Securing the Borders of Your Life, which is from our current series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah chapter 7, and his message is called Securing the Borders of Your Life.
I mean, you say, Pastor, don't worry about me, man. I got a refrigerator against the door. I got it locked up. But yet, you got an open window in the backyard. There's a lot of ways into your life. And what I'm saying to you is that the Word of God says, watch, be on guard, be careful, watch your life, watch your mouth, watch your relationships, watch what you see, guard your heart, protect yourself. Because if we fall asleep at the wheel, we find ourselves, our lives being invaded by things that are destructive, our lives being consumed by things that will tear us down because we did not check the borders close enough in our life. The music that we're listening to. Let me ask you this. What is your screening process when you watch a movie? What determines whether you will watch a movie or not watch a movie? Well, if it comes out of the movie, Pastor, you know, I figure it's okay. You know, wait a second. You know, what determines, you know what, this is not good for me to watch or this is good for me to watch? What standards do you have for your own viewing? What standards do you have for your children? By the way, parents, Some of your kids aren't going to like that I told you this. But parents, if you want a good website to screen movies, Focus on the Family has a website called Plugged In. I think it's family.org. Go to Plugged In, and it has all the current movies, and you can see a Christian review of the movie, and it'll give you everything like how many swear words there are in the movie, how many sexual scenes there are in the movie, what's the basic content of the movie. You know, we don't even go see a movie until we check something like that, because the ratings that our society gives us aren't necessarily good ratings. And I believe that we need to be cautious consumers of what we listen to, what we watch, what we see, who we hang out with. Why? Because we need to guard the borders of our life. Amen? And if you want another sort of screening test, ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, if Jesus were sitting right next to you, would you be uncomfortable with it? Hey, if Jesus were there, sitting right there. Hey, Jesus, check out this YouTube. You know, would you be uncomfortable with certain things? And if you feel like you would be uncomfortable with Jesus sitting next to you, then maybe, just maybe, you need to screen that out of your life. Hello? I'm talking about checking the borders on our life. Lastly, and I'll close with this. Nehemiah says, verse 5, "So my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the common people for registration by families." Now, it's interesting that Nehemiah says, "And the Lord led me." The Spirit of God put on my heart to do what? To register people. To register people? Doesn't sound like a super spiritual thing to do. What was Nehemiah doing? Nehemiah was registering the people that were already in Jerusalem, and then he was studying their genealogical background. He was studying their history, and he was assessing, examining the current condition. The city of Jerusalem was depopulated. There are very few people living in Jerusalem. He wanted to repopulate it, so he had to examine what existed. He had to do an inventory of the past, and he had to examine the present. Now hear me well. If you're going to secure the borders of your life, you need to ask yourself this question. What is the condition of my life right now? What is the current condition of my life, and what has led me to this point? What is the history, and what is my condition? You see, I run into a lot of people that it's been a long time since they've been honest about their condition. Can I ask you, what is your spiritual life like right now? Well, honestly, what is it like? And let me ask you another question. How is it different than a year ago or 2 years ago? Is there any progress in your life? Is there difference in your life from a year ago, 2 years ago? And if you're stuck in spinning your wheels, then you need to be honest about that. We're heading into 2008. Listen, you need to take responsibility for the condition of your life and the condition of your spiritual life. See, a lot of people, when I talk to them about their spiritual life and they're not doing too well, they tell me why they're not doing too well. They say, "Well, you know, I have a lot of friends and they're not, you know, I was a part of a home group, and if he would just study more and get more into the Word, I'd get more out of it. You know what? I just don't get into that worship, or I can't go to this, or the service time changed, or I have a mother-in-law that nags me, or my wife's always negative, so I can't grow." And listen, no more excuses. The point is this: after you've examined your life and found out where you're at, when you stand before God one day, ultimately it's you and God giving account for your life. And the Word of God says that we will give account for our life. Every thought that we've thought, every word that we've said, we will give account for how we spent our life, what we lived for, what we've done with what God entrusted to us. One day we'll stand before God and give account for our life. And let me tell you what won't make the cut. "Well, God, I would have been a lot more faithful if my wife would have..." No, that's not going to make the cut. "Well, Lord, you know, I was really trying to follow you, but I had a neighbor that was real loud music. I couldn't have my devotions because he..." No, that's not going to make the cut. "Lord, I really would have done a lot better, but I got sick for 2 weeks, missed my home group. No one called me, so I figured, forget about it. I'm not even going to go to that group anymore." Not going to make the cut. When you stand before God God is not going to ask you about other people and how they did or what they did or whether they encouraged you. God is going to ask you to give account for your personal life. What about you? And so I think we need to start at this stage in our life, beginning to take responsibility for our life, regardless of who you're married to, regardless of your job environment, regardless of your history and whether your dad took you to the ball games or not, regardless of how much healing needs to happen in your life. All those things are legitimate, but ultimately, you're going to give response for your life. So now we start taking responsibility for our own life and our own action. Hey, why don't we say this all together? All right, don't say it yet. I'm going to ask you to say, I take responsibility for my spiritual condition. Okay? We got it? I'm going to count to three and we're going to say, I take responsibility for my spiritual condition. At the count of three, you're going to say that. One, two, three. I take responsibility for my spiritual condition. Now we're going to go a step further. I want you to turn someone that's beside you, behind you, someone that, and look them in the face and say, I take responsibility for my spiritual condition. Okay, I feel better already. Listen, that's a powerful thing. You are the guardian of your borders. God has entrusted you with a life. God has entrusted you with your responsibilities, with your own heart now. And the sooner you start taking responsibility for your own life, for where you're at, the better you will be. If you're not growing, then here's the question. Then what are you going to do to change that? If you're stuck right now, here's the question. Then what are you going to do to get unstuck? Don't say you're just hanging around waiting for life to happen for you to get unstuck. No, what are you going to do to get unstuck? What are you going to do to start growing? What are you going to do to get out of that binding habit? What are you going to do to let go of that resentment? What are you going to do to build up a stronger spiritual life? What are you going to do to get closer to God? What are you going to do to get your heart right with God? What will you do to take personal responsibility for your spiritual life? Because ultimately, listen to me, you are responsible for you. Amen? Praise God. I want you to stand with me this morning. As we close this service together, I want to challenge you. Especially, I always like the end of the year, the beginning of a new year. It's a great time to examine ourselves. Great time to stop, to pause, put the pause button and say, let me evaluate a little bit where I'm at. Let me assess where I'm at. Let me take a pulse on my condition. I heard to pull back from my life a little bit. Here am I. I'm going to pull back. And if I were taking an outside objective look at my spiritual life, my relational life, how am I doing? How would I grade myself? What would I say about myself? How do I evaluate my spiritual condition? Be honest now. And then what steps do I need to take that I know I need to take, that maybe I've been putting off, but I know I need to take? What steps would I take? What would I do? What do I know I need to do, but I've been putting off a little while? I'm going to guard the borders of my life. Guard the borders of my life. And say, God, renew my life. Rebuild my life. Lord Jesus.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with the second half of his message called Securing the Borders of Your Life, which is from our current series called Rebuild. Your life, your city, your world. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.